Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Joshua, if you will. Take your Bibles and turn to Joshua. This might seem like an unusual message to have on Mother's Day, but I think it's going to be a blessing to you. It does apply to a lady, but I think this is something that can apply to every one of us if we will allow it to sink in. Joshua chapter 2, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua chapter 2, right at verse number 1. Kind of a familiar story, but I want you to see something. I don't know whether I've ever heard anybody bring this about quite like this, and it just kind of hit me actually a while back. And Joshua chapter 2, verse number 1. Look like we're there? All right, good. Joshua chapter 2, verse number 1. Let me put this real quick in perspective. The Israelites were in Egypt. They were in the bondage of slavery for about 400 years. God sent Moses down there to draw. His word means to draw out. He brought them out, delivered them, brought them through the Red Sea. They looked over into the promised land. There was a bunch of giants over there, and they said, "We can't handle this. We'll just stay right here on this side." Joshua and Caleb, however, said, "We can do this because God's given us this land." But most of the people said no. And then they cry about it. They cry about it. Even though God said, "Go and do it, we can do it." But then they cry about it. He brings them out with a high hand. He gets them across the Red Sea, and a couple big guys scare them. I don't get it. But anyway, they live for 40 years in the wilderness. After 40 years in the wilderness, God raises up Joshua. Moses dies, raises up Joshua, who was Moses' servant, if you will, and he says, "You're going to lead us into the promised land." By the way, Joshua is the Jewish version of Jesus. It means God, Jehovah, our Savior. And so he raises up Joshua to take them into the promised land. Now, Joshua sends some spies across, two gentlemen, and they go in and spy out the first city by the name of, that we know the city, you know the story, Jericho. And they come into they come up to the city, and they're trying to figure out what's going on, what's going on around in there, what the city is like. And that brings us to chapter 2, verse number 1. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were.' And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. 'Whither the men went, I wot not,' she says." This is what she's telling them. "'Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them.' But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men," watch this, "'I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites and were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed." Now remember, how long has it been since they crossed the Red Sea to now? 40 years. Now, good chance this lady was not 40 years old. But she had heard about it. People knew. They were scared of the Israelites and leave them on the other side of Jordan. Just go ahead. But now they've come across the Jordan. Where he says, "Well, I think I know who you guys are. You're coming this way, aren't you?" Verse 11. And as soon as we had heard these things, she says, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She had made some decisions there. Now therefore I pray you, by the way, she knew that, but she was still a harlot. But she knew there was a fear of God in her heart. But she was still doing some things she probably shouldn't have been doing. Verse 12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you this kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. And the man answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall. And she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you into the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned. And afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Now, I hope you will take this. I was kind of doing my alliteration here, so don't. I hope this doesn't seem too unkind here. But the topic I want to talk about this morning is this: how a loser became a lady. I don't just hang tight. That sounds kind of rough, but how a loser became a lady. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to our hearts week after week after week. And Lord, we're here now to hear from your word once again. So I ask that your Holy Spirit will move. And I want to be encouragement to everyone here. I want to be encouragement. Lord, I pray that you'll do your work, and may we see ourselves, and wherever we are, wherever in the midst of this we may be, we've all been here one time or another. But Lord, we thank you for the promise that we have in you, the power we have in you, and the life we can have in you. Lord, I pray that you just bless it. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. What can God do with me? Sometimes that's what we ask. I'm a mess. My life's been a mess. My family's been a mess for years. Everyone knows I'm a mess, and how in the world can I overcome all this mess and ever have God do anything with me? Recently, I was talking to a gentleman about receiving Christ, and I asked if God will take him just like he is, give him a home in heaven, would you let him do it? This person's question to me first was this: would I be allowed to come to your church? I said, well, it kind of took me off guard, because I just don't think that way around here. I was taught, you say, well, who's a good candidate, a good prospect for your church? And the answer is, are they breathing? Okay, bring them in. And it took me by surprise. I said, well, of course you would be. I think sometimes we think God can't do anything with us. You know what? We all, to a certain extent, have some past. It's nothing that anybody else knows about. Maybe it's something we know only God knows about. Maybe it's something everybody knows about. Maybe it's public knowledge. But let me walk through some things, and hang as I do when I lead somebody to the Lord. I say that I'm going to tell you two things. The first two things don't sound too good, but hang tight. It gets real good after that. Well, there's a couple things here we got to deal with, but it gets real good after this. Let me tell you the first thing. We know the story of Rahab. The two men come in and they find a lady's door that's willing to let the men in. She was a harlot. So number one, she was loose. I'm just going to kind of be a little plain here this morning. She was loose. Verse 1 says, and Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came unto an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. She had no problem bringing these two men into her house. There's been times in our lives where we let things go that we probably shouldn't let go. It may not have been what she did, but we got a little loose, got a little wild. I'm not saying it's good, and I'm not saying we should overlook it. I'm not saying we shouldn't try to stop our own teenagers from doing such things, but it's been times. It says she was a harlot. That word simply means someone that is wanton. That's an old term, W-A-N-T-O-N, means unrestrained. She was wanton, basically, toward adultery. Sometimes it refers to simple fornication, but more often this word really means someone who's out seeking the husbands of others. She was loose. I'm not going to stand here and belabor this issue. In our heart, we all know that's not right. We allow our flesh to get the best of us and do something we shouldn't do. And maybe it's simply looking when we shouldn't look. Stopping and listening to something we shouldn't be listening to. Or maybe it was some actions. Maybe it was a lot of actions. And you think about a woman like Rahab. You know, ladies don't call their daughters Rahab. Just like they don't call them Jezebel. Just like we don't, you know, you don't call somebody Benedict Arnold Walsh. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's Rahab. She was loose. Number two. Now this is somewhat speculation, but I think it kind of goes together. She was loud. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, let me tell you. She was probably the one that was quick to do the talking, tell a story. In fact, she told a whole story here to get herself out of a fix, to get them out of a fix. I mean, she told quite a story there. So what do you mean? Well, the word Rahab, the name Rahab simply means proud. It comes from a word that means roomy. I'm not sure what that means, but puffed up, proud. A lot of space, not much in it. But she was proud, did a lot of talking. In Proverbs 7:6, it says this. You may recognize this passage. It says, for at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, speaking of the man, not the woman, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight and the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and a subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, proud, going to do what I want. Her feet abide not in her house, and now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait in every corner. When I was a teenager, there was a gal who got her sights on me, and I mean, you can hardly blame her, but really wasn't her fault. But she got her sights on me, and there were several times, I mean, seriously, she grabbed my hand, tried to pull me into the dark. But the fact is, she was then and still is just kind of loud, and I'm going to do as I please mentality. Kind of goes together. I'm going to do what I want and get what I want. A woman that gets into these types of activities usually harden their hearts and don't allow anyone to tell them what to do and how to do it. But you know what? We've all kind of done what we wanted to do sometimes. Men can get pretty loud too. And we can get pretty, yeah, ouch. We can try to do what we want to do when we want to do it. And sometimes when God starts tugging on our heart and you say, well, you know, I think maybe I ought to go back to church. You start thinking, but would they have me? Maybe I ought to go back to the Lord, but why in the world would he want me? She was loose. She was loud. Number three, she was a liar. She was a liar. Look at verse 2. Joshua 2:2, and it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho, the king, shows up at Rahab's house. And he says, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house. For they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them. And listen, I'm all glad she did that. And God knew she was going to do that. Did that justify her sin? No. Doesn't justify any of the sin. Said, well, God wanted to lie. No, he had other ways of doing it. But the fact is, he knew she would. He used it. He knew what she was going to do. And the king of Jericho said to Rahab, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I didn't know where they came from. I wished not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting the gate when it was dark, when we were closing up shop, all the men went out. Now, where they went, I don't know. So you go follow them. They're left. You go follow them. You go get them real quick. You go out and try to overtake them. But she had brought the men up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. I'm simply saying she's good at it. That wasn't the first lie she told. She had had some practice. My guess is a lot of things that she had been said. We find out later that she's living in this house, but she's talking about her father and mother's house someplace else. I don't know why she got kicked out of dad's house. I don't know. Maybe she lied to him one too many times or did some things she wasn't supposed to do, and she was going to live her life her way, and he said, well, fine, go. But you're not going to live that way here. You know what? By the way, once your kids grow up, you're still the head of your house if they're living underneath your roof. You don't like to do it, but I wouldn't ordain, I wouldn't give in to their sin. So she was loose, she was loud, and she was a liar. Number four, sounds really bad because it sounds kind of judgmental, but it's the truth. She was a loser. The things that we do hurts us and others. She was a loser. Go to chapter 6. A lot of things happen between chapter 2 and chapter 6. Probably weeks go by. And Israel shows up at the town. You know the story. Joshua tells them they're going to go. Well, God tells Joshua to tell them, I want you to go out around there, around the city, and I want you to walk around the city one time. There was probably 1.5 to 2 million people. There were 600,000 men who could fight. That was a certain age. And then they all, probably 600,000, let's say they each had a wife, and each had one kid. Now we're up to 1.5 plus. They probably had more than one kid. So let's kind of average it all out. And there was a few that were older, and there were some other, listen, there was mother-in-laws and all that, you know. And so you got all this going on here. You have all these people. And he said, march around the city once every day for 6 days. And then the last day, I want you to go around 7 times. And the 7th time, when Joshua gives the signal, blow the horn, shout, and the walls are going to fall down and take the city. Now, she had already made the deal. We read it back in chapter 2 that when they take the city, they're going to save her life, and everybody that's in her family, father and mother, brothers and sisters, and everything they have that they can get in that little house that sits on the wall of the house. And in fact, we know the scarlet cord was hanging out her window. It might have been used for other things at the time, but she left them out of the window on that, and they said, that'll be hanging out my window so you know which window that I'm living in, which house I'm living in, you can save us. So chapter 6, verse 1 says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. So they had it surrounded. You weren't going to walk out. They're stuck in town there. It may have been several weeks from the time Rahab until the actual encampment around Jericho. Rahab probably wondered if they were being honest with her. Can you imagine what was going on about that time? Well, I wonder if they forgot. I wonder if they're going to actually save us this time. She probably wondered if she had done the right thing. Were they going to hold to their word, or were they going to kill her too? She probably thought how everything in her hometown was most likely going to be destroyed. The streets she used to go up and down as a kid. The friends she grew up with across the street. The little shops down here where you go down to get the food and buy the produce. All that's going to be destroyed. Homes, shops, friends, neighbors. Folks that she's known since childhood. And it's going to be her fault. Because she lied to the king. Right about now, she's really feeling like a loser. She was a loser in life. She had tried to make a living. She may have even thought she was noble for doing something she hated, prostitution, to at least pay her own way. I don't know. She was trying to survive. Why was she not living in her father's house? Has she done something that he kicked her out? She felt like she was all alone. Whatever forced her into prostitution? Maybe there were times she actually enjoyed her line of work, but then felt guilty about it. In the back of her mind, she most likely saw herself as a loser in life. She apparently still cared for her family because she wanted them to be saved, but she felt like a loser. She lost her hometown. Joshua 6:20 says this. Joshua 6:20. When the attack came. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard a sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that they had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren, all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Everything's gone. Can you imagine her standing there watching the city burn? She lost the town. But you know what? There must have been some sense in her heart. I am responsible for this. I could have told them where the men were. Maybe they could have held them hostage and made some kind of deal with Israel not to kill them. But I didn't. I hid the people that destroyed us. Imagine what's going back and forth in her mind. Number five, she was loose, she was loud, she was a liar. I missed one. She's a loser. She was left alone. Number five, she was left alone. Joshua 6:23, it says, and a young man that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and they brought out all her kindred. That's good, family. And left them without the camp of Israel. So there she is. And now, she didn't know who these Israelites are. I don't know who these people are. Can you imagine some people coming in, taking over Dover, and you and your family? Well, they used to say that years ago there was times when Indians would come in and take over town, and they'd take one family, and these families were kind of held hostage and had to live with the Indians. Here she is, and now not only is she in this place, but she got her whole family in this mess. But look what it says. It says they took them out and they left them outside the camp. So there's the Israelites, and there's her town burning. Now, what do we do? What do we do? Why in the world? Everybody's going to hate me. I mean, I'm out here with my family. They're saved, but they're all saying, what in the world did you do? We don't even have a living. The shop that we worked, that we had, you know, where we sold the bread or whatever it was, it's gone. Maybe they should have told someone. Maybe they should have stopped this. Was she wrong for betraying her people? Or was it right for following God? Because she knew that the Lord, He is God. It's hard. They didn't have any new friends. They left them outside the camp like a common animal, unclean and unfit to be with the rest of the people. That's the way they saw them. They had no home, no place to go. The decision was made. Found the question, what's going on? Should have told the authorities. Save the city instead of being a sellout. The choice was either to word God or not to word God. I say that again. The choice, though, was either to word God or not to word God. No matter what the ramifications are, we need to choose God. Now that's hard. She believed God. We read it. It says, He's the Lord. He is God. Now hang on, I'm almost done. She was loose. She was loud. She was a liar. She was a loser. She was left alone. Ready for this? She was given a new life. Tough decision. Where do you stand on this? You stand where God stands. Now, she was not necessarily a righteous, great woman, but she believed God. And she stood where God stood. And let me tell you, folks, it's not where you've been. It's where you allow God to take you. Let me say that again. It's not where you've been. It's not what you've been doing. It's not the fact that we've been losers. The fact is, where will you allow God to take you? From where you are right now. So I'm going to lose everything I have. What are you going to lose? That which God's going to destroy anyway? That which you're going to lose anyway? The temporal things of this life that's going to be gone anyway? Or do we make an investment? We make that tough decision and say, no matter what happens, I'm not going to go, whatever it is. Listen, it's not about turning against the people. It's about turning toward God. Listen, her family came with her. She must have had enough credibility to be able to say, this is going to happen. Now, maybe it was once they started marching around the wall, he said, I told you they were coming. Here they are. All I know is they said that if I marked on my window, they'll come and get me. We have nothing to lose because God's going to give it to them. It's not going to make any difference. Of course, we're going to lose it all. We've got to decide whether we're going to go down with them or whether we're going to have a new life with them. Joshua 6:25. And Joshua saved Rahab, the harlot, alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. When it says, Joshua saved Rahab, what's Joshua's word mean? Jesus showed up. And it says, if you'll be willing to turn your back on the mess and turn to word God, I'll give you a new life. I'll give you a new life. But you don't understand. I've been loose and loud and a liar and a mess. I've been a mess all my life. He says, I'll give you a new life. You don't have to stay there in that mess. You don't have to do that forever. I can give you a new life. Well, it's been way too long. I don't, you know, everybody knows I've got to. I'll give you new friends. I'll give you a new place to live if we have to. But I'll give you a new life. That word saved. It says Joshua saved Rahab. That means, that word saved there means to live, to revive, to be made whole, to be preserved, to have the promise of life. He said, Joshua, Jesus, Joshua, the Savior, Jehovah our Savior, gave Rahab the harlot, that's what it says, a life. And her father's household. And all she had, and she dwelt in Israel even until this day. She was loose, she was loud, she was a liar, she was a loser, she was left alone. She was given a new life, and there's one more. She was given a new legacy. She was given a new legacy. Do me a favor. Turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. Now, in the New Testament, sometimes it spells some of the names a little differently. George Washington used to, back before Webster made a common spelling for things. We have Webster's dictionary. They would sound everything out, and they said George wanted to spell the same word three ways in the same letter. That's just the way it was. So don't get upset about the spelling, but we know who these people are. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. This is the begats. Don't you hate it when you get to that part there and in the Old Testament, you're reading through the Bible through the year, and you get to all the begats. He begat, and he begat, and he begat, and all out of begatting going on. It's just crazy stuff. You say, what in the world that's for? Well, here's one of the reasons it's there. Chapter 5, verse, and Salmon begat, it says Booz, but we know him as Boaz in the book of Ruth. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Rahab. And Rahab and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. That's another whole story. There's another little gal that shouldn't have been in the midst of everything, but God is so gracious. Would that none should perish, but all come to repentance. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David, the king. And you can follow that lineage, and it goes all the way to Jesus. You can check that out in Luke 3. Kind of go the other direction in this one in Matthew. This is Rahab. This is a little loose girl down at Jericho. Guys knew where she lived. And she was a liar. She was loud. She was a loser. But she said, I don't know what I've got to do, but I got to follow the Lord. I got to go him. He is God. And so she did. And for a little bit, she felt left outside the camp. But they brought her in. And she dwelled with them until the day that was written. She got married. She got married. She got a man. The right way. Apparently a pretty decent fella who raised a pretty decent kid. Who got married and raised another pretty decent kid. Boaz, wait a minute. Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. You know Boaz? He ended up being one of the most noble and richest men in town. Eligible bachelor. But Boaz, I think, had a new way of looking at things too, because he knew where his mama had come from. And this little gal, Ruth, who said, I'm going to follow God. I'm leaving it all. I'm going to follow God. He'd seen that story before. Little Ruth comes into town and he says, I'll take her. I'll be her redeemer. And down the line comes little David, who was a man after God's own heart. Became the greatest king Israel ever knew. And God said, you know what? There will always be someone from the lineage of David on the king, on the throne. And one day, the town was busy, and they saw him coming. And they waved palm branches and said, Hosanna, son of David. Because a little harlot named Rahab said, I'm going to turn my back on the old and I'm going to follow God. All she saw was God's people from there on. She was willing to climb out of that window, down that cord, on faith. She turned her back on her past. She put her life and the life of her family into the hands of God. She followed God wherever that was going to take her because, listen, the rest of the battles are still going on. Jericho was just the next one. Listen, it wasn't but a few days. They went to Ai and lost 36 men. My guess is, no, wait a minute. I thought these were God's people. Can you imagine what she went through? But she was willing to go with the strange and us peculiar people. The peculiar people. She was willing to leave her homeland. She risked being seen as an outcast. Ethnically. She had the wrong language. She was of the wrong nation. She was probably looked at suspiciously, possibly as an enemy, but maybe the other lady says, well, we know where she came from. Don't let her talk to my husband. Can you imagine what she went through? She risked it all to follow the one and true and only living God. But she was taken in by God's people. That's our job. Was given a second chance on life. Became one with them. Married into the family. Became the matriarch of a great family. Now, Rahab is not usually on the list of the Hall of Fame of mothers. But maybe she should be. Maybe if we had been born into the family she was born in, the place where she was born, maybe we wouldn't even have done what she did. Except for the grace of God, there goes I. Think of what she was willing to go through to make her life better and the lives of any children she may have down the road. Think of where she came from. She turned in faith toward God. She stepped out in faith and God put her in the lineage of the greatest earthly king in the lineage of the Savior of the world. Now you may feel you've messed up and cannot be used. You may think you're a loser. You may think you're lost and limited in what God can do. Come to Lord. Climb out on that scarlet robe of the blood of Jesus. And it can drop you into the hands of a brand new life. The end of your story does not have to be the same as the generations have been before. God has great things in store for you. If you are willing to turn your back on your old life and surrender to a new life, to go wherever God chooses you to go, He can turn it around. She was willing to lose everything in order to no longer be a loser. She was willing to lose everything so she's no longer a loser. She left life as she knew it so that God could give her a new life and a new legacy. Rahab's greatness was not where she started. Was not where she came from. Her greatness was her willingness to allow God to take her from there. And God will lead you all the way if you'll allow Him to lead you. How a loser became a lady. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. What a wonderful, wonderful story.
And Lord, everyone in here was lost and headed for hell. And maybe there's some who still are because they haven't yet received Christ as their Savior. Lord, if there's anyone here who doesn't know that, doesn't have that settled, may today be the day. But yet, Lord, there's some of us here who know our son is your son is Savior. She knew God was God, but she was still sitting in Jericho. Some of us who are saved and know Christ as our Savior, know God as God, need to climb out on that scarlet rope and let God lead them to the next place, the next step. Lead them away from the mess of the world toward a family of God, a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Our heads are